There we go. God showed up. Well, I wonder if I was to ask you to describe Christmas in three words. I wonder what words you would use. It's a question that a number of TV celebrities were asked as part of a TV advertising campaign a number of years ago. And these are some of the answers that they gave. Christmas in three words, according to some of our well-known celebrities. Last minute shopping. There we go. Eating too much. Filling a stocking, the Queen's speech, and top of the pile, any ideas? Christmas in three words? Was friends and family. Now, I'm sure most of you can relate to some, if not all of those words there on the screen. But what about these words? Jesus is born. Christ is King. Glory to God. God with us. God showed up. I wonder where those answers fit in your Christmas. You see, we live at a time when Christmas is booming commercially, to the point where the real heart of Christmas is being covered up by all the extra traditions and trimmings that come with a 21st century Christmas. You'll probably be familiar with the story of the school nativity, which was going ever so well at one point, and the angels appeared to the shepherds on the hillside. Everything was going according to plan. The shepherds then arrived in Bethlehem to check out this newborn baby, but to the horror of the school producer and to the amusement of some of the parents, it became clear that there was no baby Jesus in the manger. You see, the shepherds were in place, the angels were in place, Mary and Joseph were in place, even the animals were in place. But Jesus himself had been completely forgotten. It was a nativity scene without Christ. Isn't that the story of Christmas for so many? All the extra detail has been sorted. The turkey's been bought. The decorations go up. The presents are under the tree. The drinks are cooling in the fridge. But Jesus himself has been forgotten. And you see, whether Jesus is intentionally left out or accidentally forgotten or just swamped with all the extra stuff that comes with Christmas, the result is the same. We end up with a Christ-less Christmas. Happy, maybe, for a short time, but hollow, ultimately. Well, listen to these words again that the angel spoke to Joseph before the birth of Jesus, because here's the real substance of Christmas. The angel to Joseph, Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then Matthew adds his own little comment, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Christmas in three words, God with us. Not last minute shopping or filling a stocking or the Queen's speech or even family and friends, but the wonder and the reality of a God who came to be with us. Or to borrow the words from that video we've just seen, God showed up. The God of heaven showed up in our world. Not like this big pillar of fire, not like a hurricane from heaven, but born as a little baby. In all that vulnerability and weakness in Bethlehem on that first Christmas night. You see, what Joseph learned here from the angel was incredibly important. He was only going to be the father of Jesus in a secondary sense. Can you see that verse 18? But before they came together, that's before Joseph and Mary came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, not from Joseph. This was not Joseph's doing. This little life that was forming in the womb of Mary was conceived from above, from heaven itself. And the implications of that are clear in verse 23. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, God is the real father of this child. Breathtaking, isn't it? That when that little baby was born and placed in that manger 2,000 years ago, that was God himself, the creator of the rolling spheres, who came down into this world. As one author put it, God became a man. The Almighty appeared on earth as a helpless human baby, unable to do more than lie and stare and wriggle and make noises, needing to be fed and changed and taught to talk like any other child. The babyhood of the Son of God was a reality. The more you think about it, the more staggering it gets, which is so true, isn't it? The more you think about God and what he did on that first Christmas, the more staggering it gets. The eternal God became a human being. The infinite became finite. The extraordinary became ordinary. Or as we sing in one of Charles Wesley's great hymns, our God contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. The eternal God contracted to a span, fully God, yet fully man. You see, the coming of Jesus Christ at Christmas was both real and remarkable. The question we need to ask ourselves now is why? Why would God do that? What would move the heart of heaven? What would move God's heart to step down into this dark and broken and restless world? Well, the answer is you. And the answer is me. He did it for our sake. As we've sung already this evening, mild he lays his glory by. Born, why? That man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. What does that mean? Well, it means he came down voluntarily, willingly, and lovingly. He laid aside his glory, swapping the robes of heaven for the clothes of the humble carpenter. And he was born into this world. Why? That man no more may die, that we may live, and one day live forever with him. You see, Christmas that we're thinking about at this time of year is just the beginning of the story. But even here, right at the beginning, we're told ever so clearly why Jesus came, what the mission of Jesus was, why the Father sent the Son into this world. And you've heard it already this evening. Mary will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus came to save us. That was his mission. That was why he came down. You see, we cannot divide verse 21 and verse 23. Jesus came into this world as Emmanuel, God with us. But he came to be with us in order to die for us. He came to save us from our sin. And that's why so many people bypass the real heart of Christmas. It's why they leave Jesus on the sidelines. Because to believe in Jesus means to accept that you're a sinner and that you need saving. And if you're anything like me, then you probably don't like being told that, especially at Christmas. You see, it takes a lot of courage, doesn't it, to admit that you've got things wrong, that you've wronged God, that you've rejected the one who made you and gave you life, and you failed to love the people God has put around you. Even those who are nearest and dearest in your life, we've got it wrong. And it takes a whole lot of courage to admit that we've got it wrong. And that's why God's gift to us at Christmas can be so, so hard to receive. Because it actually means swallowing our pride and saying, you know what, I've got it wrong. And I need to be forgiven. Imagine for a moment opening your first present on Christmas morning, and it's a dieting book. And you think, okay, all right. Then you open your second present, and it's a stress ball. And you think, oh, all right. And you open your third present, needed for some in the room, a tub of Just for Men hair dye. And then you open your fourth present. You only get four presents. Here's the four of them. And the fourth one is a spray that keeps your shoes smelling fresh. Now, to genuinely accept those presents, yeah, and to be thankful for them means to admit that, number one, you're overweight. Number two, you're stressed. Number three, you're going grey. And number four, your feet stink. You see, some presents are hard to accept, aren't they? Because it firstly means acknowledging there's something that's not quite right that needs sorting out. And so it is with God's gift to us. To accept the gift of Jesus this Christmas and to be truly thankful is to admit that you've got it wrong and that you need Jesus to save you. And so this year, and amongst all the other gifts that you open, in amongst all the activity and the noise and the food and the laughter, and even those precious moments of quiet when you retreat, maybe to your own little quiet spot, I wonder whether you will take hold this Christmas of the one gift that really matters. Will you acknowledge your sin? Will you accept Jesus as your Savior? And in so doing, enjoy a relationship with the God of heaven that will last into eternity. Not just a temporary haven. That's what Christmas is for so many, isn't it? A temporary haven where we shut out the world for a couple of days and we open presents and we eat chocolate and we pretend all the rubbish stuff that's sometimes happening out there isn't happening. We hide ourselves away. That's not the sort of rest Christmas is about. That's not the sort of joy and peace that the Lord Jesus offers. He offers a lasting peace with God, a life forever with Him in a perfectly restored, new, physical, joy-filled creation. And that is all available to each one of us through the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christmas, in three words, God with us. And He came to be with us, and He came to die for us, so that one day He might take us to be with Him forever. So as the band come and join us at the front, just give you a moment to think about that and what that means for you this Christmas. Will you take hold of the one gift that really matters? And if you know Christ already, if that gift is already yours, will you share the wonder of that gift with the world around us? Why don't we stand together as we sing our final carol? And it's a call to come. It is a call to come to Christ. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, come and behold Him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Do stand.